From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
Day the Lord has made, let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we are glad to have Andrea Arevalo. Did I say it right?
You said it right. Wow. Finally. No.
Wow. How many times do people get it wrong first time?
Oh, all the time.
All the time.
Yeah. Because you
can. So I'm in good company.
Yes. And I never know how to say it because you could say it with the Spanish accent, which a lot of people can't do.
Yeah.
So a lot of times.
Say it with a Spanish accent.
Arevalo.
Oh, with a kind of Arevalo. Roll the R's?
Yeah. Like an accent over the E. Arevalo.
Uh-huh. Wow.
That's how you, yeah. But so a lot of times it's just Arevalo is good enough.
It's good enough. Close enough. Yeah. Yeah. I took like 4 years of Spanish in high school and can't speak a word because it was all vocabulary in high school. Way back about the time of the Civil War. But it was all vocabulary.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I know words, but I don't know conjugation of verbs and conversation. Mm-hmm. And I never, as people say, until you actually have to order all your food and, you know, where's the bathroom, all these conversational things, you'll never learn to actually speak another language.
Yes, this is true. And I think understanding is also the first step, and then the second step is to learn how to speak it.
Yeah, and it's so good now. Our Catholic schools are doing Spanish immersion, I mean, especially in California.
Yes.
So
my kids did a dual immersion program
in
elementary school.
They start young, just wow.
Yeah, so easy.
Yeah, it's so easy. They're fluent in both.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speak, read, write, all of it.
Yes.
And it does, will be very beneficial when they're done with school.
Oh, absolutely.
And out there in the workforce. So
absolutely.
And we're very grateful that we had one close by that they could go to.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Where did they go to school?
They went to, it was called Markham Elementary School in Vacaville.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great school.
It is.
It's a great school. So the your business card, which they had to put it on two lines because your title is so long, Coordinator for Marriage and Family Life, Coordinator for the Gabriel Project.
Yes.
Tell us first, before we launch into it, because we discussed that before one time, but the Gabriel Project is now sort of under the auspices of the diocese.
Yes.
What was behind that decision?
Well, I don't know if you would call him the director or the creator of it. His name, Mike Ronco.
Right.
He was the one that on his own just took it, upon himself to go and promote this ministry among all the parishes. So him by himself would go and try and get appointments with the pastors, tell them about it, get them on board, and then start promoting it, get people involved at that parish. Well, he is, like all of us, getting older, and he wanted it to carry on when he was no longer with us.
Right.
So he approached the diocese and saying, would you be willing to help with this and promote it and kind of take it over? And of course the bishop said yes, because it does fall under his four-part plan under the pastoral care, especially for the Respect Life ministry, of actually providing care for those moms in need. And so he's encouraging every parish to have it, and letters already went out to all the pastors explaining, how he strongly encourages that they have this at their parish to, because especially under the Respect Life ministry, they were, they're the ones that are out there praying in front of the abortion centers and I've heard tons of success stories of them being able to prevent abortions.
Right.
And now they can also say, now let us walk with you through this pregnancy and help you care.
Accompanying women in need.
Yeah. Yes. Spiritually, financially, emotionally, whatever it is that they need. So he really wants to see it grow throughout the Sacramento Diocese. So we did send letters to the pastors encouraging them to call me and to start getting that process. And Mike is still involved. He will go out. So once we get the yes from the pastor, he goes out and does a sign-up, a weekend of sign-ups where announcements are made. People can sign up if they're interested in. And then the next weekend, he will do an orientation and training that really will give them a good detailed look of how it works and what's all required and get it really set up and going in the parish. So he still does that for us for as long as he can.
People have never heard of the Gabriel Project. Give us a thumbnail of what the Gabriel Project does, what its mission is.
So there is a, so we have an 800 number. So there's, so basically the pastor just has to say yes to three things. The first is to display the sign of hope that we have. And it has the 1-800 number that the mom can call, to have the brochures in the back of the parish, and then to have an ongoing ad in the bulletin. Mm-hmm. And then that's really it. And then we, through that 1-800 number, they can call that 24/7. And that goes into what we call Contact One, which is a company that answers the phone calls. They take down the basic information of the mom, what her needs
and
are.
She's going to be saying, I need, this is somebody who has a child or is pregnant.
It's either. It could,
either.
It's usually a small, children under two or pregnant, mm-hmm. Or just born. So newborn to about 2 years old. So it can be anywhere in that process. So they do ask if she's pregnant or how old the children are, where she lives. We get down the information and then the email gets sent to me as the operator, and we have a map of all the parishes, and I look for the closest one, and I refer, send that information on to them. They outreach to the mom, and they say, you know, they're called angels, mm-hmm. the volunteers, and they say, we're here for you, and, you know, tell us more about your story and what you need. And so depending on the parish, it can look a little different in each parish. It just depends on what the volunteers are capable of, their backgrounds.
And so how do they fulfill the need?
So, yeah. So depending on who they have and what they can do, a lot of the times, for sure, they're able to help. A lot of them throw baby showers. They buy them the big ticket items. They, you know, put mm-hmm. money together, buy the cribs or strollers, car right. seats, clothes, diapers is huge. So they all pitch in and financially help in that way. A lot of the times they need rides to doctor's appointments that mm-hmm. they can give them. Or, you know, get them connected with going to Mass or the pastor sure. for spiritual advice. And a lot of them, too, sometimes end up homeless or are being kicked out. So they help connect them with social services that are available in
are
the area.
Are most of these women single?
A good chunk of them are, mm-hmm. yeah. Not all of them, but most of them, because, yeah, they don't have the support from the dad, or the right. we do get a good right. chunk, a good portion of them are
right.
dealing with the pregnancy on their own.
Right. Do the people in the Gabriel Project sometimes turn to just the parish at large, or say St. Vincent de Paul, or to help with the needs?
Yes. So, well, not really. Not too many of the moms know that those ministries exist, right. but the Gabriel Project does help connect them. So if they need help with maybe a month's rent or PG&E, they'll go to St. Vincent de Paul or the Knights of Columbus.
Sure.
So it really is also not just walking with the mom, but kind of teaching her how to be on her own two feet and what services are available that she can take part in, you know, low-income housing right. and all that stuff, so that she can, you know, kind of stand on her own two feet and then continue on as the baby gets older.
So what success are you having in getting them started at various parishes?
Pretty good. We've had some gatherings for Respect Life, and we already got a couple people that were already interested. I was actually just on the phone. I had to come here, run here, and be like, I got to call you right back, because she's interested in. So we just had some earlier this month. So I have about, haven't received too many calls from parishes yet, but I haven't had to reach out yet. But I have about four in the works of mm-hmm. getting it going.
How many parishes already have it?
There's about 30.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that already have
it. So about a third, almost mm-hmm. a third, yeah.
Yeah, and so then I'm really working. The West Placer Deanery has already said pretty much yes to having. So then once I kind of get these four up and running, then I'm going to start calling, reaching out to those pastors and reconnecting and getting it going there and working my way. but so far, I haven't done too much outreach on my own. They kind of all just fell in my lap because of the Respect Life gatherings we've had. So I haven't gotten any no's yet. So far, everybody.
So do you get in your car and drive around and knock on doors?
Not yet.
Not yet.
But maybe. I don't know if they pay me
threat?
Enough for that. I know. Yeah. So far it's been a blessing to be a part of and kind of get it going. And
it's just one peg in filling a need of many, for sure. But the people I've talked to that have been involved in the Gabriel Project, they're just such great people. They're so dedicated.
Yes, they all are very dedicated, and you know, I pray, because all of us, that they don't get burnt out, which we can all do when we get involved in right. ministries like that. But they are very passionate, loving, compassionate people. And it's, yeah, it's been a pleasure to get to know them and work with them and yeah. help even. I've even tried to now, we have a band group that they can join, just mm-hmm. kind of the coordinators and those that are involved, to kind of then help them connect with one another. Because mm-hmm. I think that was a link that was missing.
Right.
And so now they can go to each other for support. Like, hey, what did you do in this situation? Mm-hmm. And, you know, what can we do to help this mom and share documents and things like that? So I think they've really enjoyed now that there's more collaboration going on since the diocese took it over.
So tell us a little bit about yourself before you came to the diocese here.
Oh, myself? So I'm from Vacaville, St. Uh-huh. Mary's in Vacaville.
St. Mary's, one yeah. of the beautiful trips. Father Blaisberg.
Has been such a blessing, and he's been Isn't on sabbatical, he? And I miss him, and he's coming back soon.
Yeah, that's so such a beautiful, well, I say that every time I go into a church that I'm unfamiliar, you know, such a beautiful church.
It's beautiful, yeah. Especially since I got married when it was not so beautiful, and it is very beautiful.
My sister got married in that church.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So, yeah, it's, was it before or after it was renovated?
I think it was before.
Okay, yeah, me too. It wasn't so pretty. But now it's beautiful. It's based off a mission, the mission
in Carmel.
It looks
like a mission, uh-huh. yeah. Is it Mission Carmel? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, moved there when I was 2, so born and raised, went away to college in the Bay Area.
Where'd you go?
Santa Clara University.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You're one of the smart ones. That's a great school.
It is a great school. Yeah. Yeah, met my husband, and we moved back. So we've been married 20 years.
Both Broncos.
No, his 2 brothers were, but I actually met him through work.
Oh, wow. Well. Oh, that's funny.
He went to San Jose State.
Okay. Same yes. county.
Yes. But, yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of funny, but both his brothers
they're pretty
are.
Good rivals too.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So we actually met through work. It was a interesting job for college. We were what was called house parents for a boarding school.
Uh-huh.
A lot of children from the Asian countries would send their kids to school, and he took care of the boys, I took care of the girls.
Oh, wow.
And that's how we met.
That's
we
wonderful.
We have 3 teenagers. Uh-huh. Actually, our oldest just turned 20, so I guess he's not technically a teenager.
It's my story. Until July 21st, we had 4 teenagers. And then she turned 20.
Yeah.
So I'm so used to saying we have 4 teenagers.
Yeah.
Now I just say we have a house full of teenagers.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. I still yeah. consider them a teenager, right?
Yeah. You know, they're going to be teenagers till they're about 40.
Yes.
That's just.
It kind of seems like that. Those teenage years are just getting longer.
They are, aren't they?
Teenagers didn't used to exist.
No, that's that. Right.
And now it's like it's getting extended into their 20s. So
I know
yeah.
my wife and I, we look at each other and go, where'd it go? I mean, you know, it's like, you know, she'll have it on Facebook or somewhere. It'll say on this date in whatever, and they show a photo or something. And you go, oh, man,
yes.
look at how cute they are.
Yeah, I know.
Like they're. We 2, 3, and 4, or 5, or something.
A picture, like when he went away, it was a picture of him in like his crib on his first birthday, and then like in his new dorm room. He's a sophomore now at Berkeley, so yeah.
One away to Santa Cruz, UC Santa Cruz.
Oh,
and
beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful.
So is that your 20-year-old then?
No, that's our 18-year-old.
Oh, so it's the second one.
No, she's the third one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
oh, so
we
you're
have,
well out of
yeah,
no
have,
more teenagers.
We have them. They're all a year apart.
No,
we have a 20, a 19, an 18, and a 16.
Oh, so
the
yes.
20 is the
okay.
oldest. The 20 is at UC Davis, and the 19 is at City College, and the 18 is at Santa Cruz, and the 16 is in high school.
In high school, okay. So then, yeah, we have 17 and 15, so senior and freshman in high school.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So we have the next one coming up, going to college.
Are they going to Vacaville High School?
Yes.
Yeah.
They go to Vacaville High School.
I went to Davis High, and that was one of our big rivals, of course.
Yeah.
The Bulldogs.
They're great in sports, but
they
Vacaville
are.
High is very...
Vacaville mm-hmm. High is well known for a lot
for
of their
sports.
Being
strong in athletics as well. And then got involved in the youth, teaching the youth with theology of the body.
Mm-hmm.
Got trained in that. And that kind of then led me into the youth group. I became youth minister.
At St. Mary's?
At St. Mary's. Mm-hmm. And then Father Berg, when he came about 6 years ago, he's like, hey, do you want to be certified NFP instructor? Because I was also helping with marriage prep and doing the marriage prep for couples,
sure.
my husband and I. And so I said, sure. So I got certified in the Creighton model as a fertility care practitioner. So I've been teaching that as well. So I was doing the whole marriage side of coordinating and then the youth, and which led me to then my job here.
Wow.
Which I just started in May of last year.
So what's involved in getting your NFP certification?
It depends on the method.
NFP, if you're listening, go, why are they using abbreviate? Natural family planning.
Yes. Yeah. And there's various methods, so it depends on the method. Some methods you can get trained in a weekend. Some you can get trained in like 3 to 6 months. Creighton, on the other hand, is the longest because we have the health component to it where we actually work with doctors mm-hmm. and can discover and treat underlying health conditions with gynecologic and reproductive health. That takes about 12 to 13 months. So it took a good year. It took me about 13 months to complete that. Very intense training. So there's two phases. So you have to go in person, and then it's you're supervised for six mm-hmm. months. Then you go back in person for a week, and you're supervised again. And then you do your on-site visit, and then
is this
your final.
From Creighton University?
It was Pope Paul VI. Now it's St. Paul VI mm-hmm. Institute in Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah, so that's where Creighton's located. So they must be.
Yes, that's it. Came from Creighton University.
Yeah, yeah.
Dr. Thomas Hilgers is responsible.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And yeah, the advances they've made in surgical is absolutely astounding. It's amazing to be a part of.
And it actually helps people with fertility.
Yes. Yes. And it, so, I mean, because, you know, not a lot of doctors have the time to work with patients to, because it does take time to teach them how to track their fertility and the signs that the biomarkers that is required and to work with them. So that's kind of where we come in. And then the doctors, so we can, like I said, I can see there's indicators on charts that let me know there could be something wrong with their fertility. And then we, of course, send them to the doctors to get diagnosed. But we can actually figure out what's causing it and treat it in a natural way so that they mm-hmm. can become pregnant.
Is NFP part of marriage prep?
It is. It's supposed to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
The diocese does require that they do at least a one-hour intro in mm-hmm. a specific method. So not uh-huh. just the brief overview, but
right.
in one of the methods so that they get a good working idea of what's required.
What kind of reception do you get to that?
So actually, in my short 6 years of teaching it, it's changed a little bit. Mm-hmm. I've taught marriage prep longer. And there was that idea when I first started marriage prep, that it was the old rhythm method. And so there was that negative thought about it doesn't work. It's not effective. And
that was a joke when I was growing up.
Yes.
What do you call people that practice the rhythm method? Parents.
Yeah. And so we now, a lot of people haven't heard of it. So now we're kind of have a blank slate, which mm-hmm. is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And so actually, because there's such a scientific portion of, the research and the advances and the technology that we have available, just like with anything, how it's advanced, people are really receptive to it. Most, I want to say 95% of the couples that I teach are, why didn't anybody tell us this sooner?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're like, why didn't we get this when we were teenagers?
Yeah.
And so they're not necessarily all of them go on to learn it, but they all are very happy with the information. And I'd say about 50% continue on with learning.
Oh, very interesting.
At least the couples at St. Mary's that I work with. Father Berg does require them to do more follow-ups to get mm-hmm. married, 5 follow-ups, so not just, which pastors can do. They can require more. And so he requires 5, which is about 3 cycles of charting. And so from that, about 50% continue on and the other ones don't.
But
they can always, it's a tool they have in their back pocket.
Sure,
they
exactly.
Can, yeah. And so they're all very grateful for the information and knowing that that's something they could use
in the
future.
What are the toughest questions they ask you?
I haven't really been asked too many tough questions. I've, because we kind of scan for the abortion mentality. Mm-hmm. I've been kind of mm-hmm. wanting that, but haven't gotten it yet.
Yeah.
With my theology of the body background, I have been able to help some couples, but I guess some of them are confused as to how this is not just a form of Catholic contraception.
Catholic birth control. Yeah.
Yes. So they're a little confused on the morality difference, like why is this okay,
right.
but not contraception.
Right.
And then probably the toughest is because most couples are sexually active before getting married. Mm-hmm. So that is another, you know, when they, the abstaining process of it, which is, you know, not that long. And I, you know, tell them, like, you're not going to die from it. You're going to be fine.
People are just, I mean, it's the instant gratification society. It's yes. just amazing. I mean, it's like, what are we going to have for dinner? Let's do DoorDash. You know, it's just like,
yes,
I got to have it now.
Click, click, click.
Yeah.
And it comes to me and done.
And they already have your credit card. They already have your address. They already know, you know, what kind of sauce you like on it.
Yes. They make it too easy. And that's, And so something where you actually have to wait and have patience for.
Yeah.
But that's what I tell the couples. Everything that's required to practice natural family planning is the virtues and the characteristics you need in a successful, life-lasting marriage.
Yeah.
So that's why couples that use NFP, only about 5%, less than 5% get divorces.
Wow.
Because it just fosters those good habits and different ways to show love other
and respect of each other and
reverence for one another. And so it's a very beautiful thing. So that's those are probably the two toughest questions that I get that people don't understand.
Wow. So you have some Respect Life meetings coming up?
We do. So we just had some in person, which I was on.
Wow.
Not too long ago and talked about them with you. So in Corning, remember in Corning?
Right.
Yes.
Did you make it to the Olive Pit?
I did not.
Oh.
I didn't make it to the Olive Pit.
Yeah, next time.
We ran out of, ran out of time. Next time. Because we are going to be back up there teaching theology of the body. So I'll definitely.
I love the North State.
Make time for that. It's very beautiful.
All these nice little towns.
Mm-hmm. I did see all the trees.
All the olive trees. Yeah.
Yeah. So these ones are virtual. So we do offer them bi-monthly. So every other month. So we've been doing, we did some in-person gatherings and now we're going to do kind of the winter in virtual, just to kind of see where things go. But we do want to transition back into these being even in person, bi-monthly, and maybe offering the virtual component. But these are virtual, and the link is up on the events page for the upcoming, so December 2nd, Thursday.
Okay.
Support meeting for...
It'll be a Zoom meeting.
It's a Zoom meeting, so the link is already there. And so hopefully more people, because I know it was hard. It is hard for some people to travel, too. So that's why I think it's kind of nice to offer both.
Right.
So those that couldn't come can come to this and, again, learn more about Moises. Kind of goes over the four-part plan of the bishop and how that relates to the Respect Life, like what they can do within that plan. So we do go over the Gabriel Project as part of the pastoral care, but then like the Love and Liberty campaign as part of the education information that's required. So kind of what it looks like. And then we try and have parishes share what they've done, amongst each other so they can share best practices, what works, what didn't work, and just have that support. Again, that support and community.
Very good. And that's Thursday, December 2nd at 7 o'clock?
Yes.
And then it'll be in Spanish the next week?
Yes. And then it's in Spanish the next week.
On December 9th at 7 o'clock.
Yep.
Very good.
Yeah. And then so again in February.
Very good.
So they're bi-monthly.
Now, do you do the Rachel's Vineyard as well?
No. Yeah. I mean, it's under our department, but it's
umbrella.
Yeah. But we do have a specific coordinator, and her name is, I'm blanking on her name, who actually, because she's part-time here, and she's the one that coordinates it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Andrea, always good to see you, but, well, we're one for one, so it was good today.
Yes, it was. I know. It was nice to finally be here.
Next time
in person.
I can say, it's always good to see you.
Yes.
Well, thanks for all you do. It's great work, and in today's society, it's necessary work.
Yes, thank you.
So thank you. And God bless you and your family and those sort of teenagers.
I know. One-third now or not?
One-third,
Two-thirds are teenagers. Yes, thank you. It's always a pleasure to be here, and I'm just blessed I get to do this work. It's very fulfilling.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? You're doing the Lord's work.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Always feels good.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour. We'd like to thank all the wonderful people and organizations, businesses in town and throughout the Diocese of Sacramento who have provided underwriting for the Bishop's Hour, some in the last few years, some have been with us for a very long time. If you would like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Radio Hour, it's a wonderful opportunity to support this mission and also to support the diocese and also to get some recognition for your organization or for your business. The easiest way to do this is to give us a shout, send us an email, radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about helping to underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Again, that's radio@scd.org.
Hi, this is Laura Lynn, Assistant Director for Lay Formation, and you are listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you, Laura Lynn. Thanks for that. You know, there was a lot about the Year of St. Joseph on the diocesan website, scd.org, and in case people still have time to make the 12-parish St. Joseph mission, 12 of our parishes, believe it or not, here in the Diocese of Sacramento are St. Joseph's, easily the runaway winner in the name game. It's pretty remarkable, but came across the seven joys of St. Joseph, which I'll share with you now. One, the angel's message of joy. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit." It's Matthew 1:20. Two, the Savior's birth. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." That's from Luke 2:10 and 11. Three, having the honor of naming Jesus, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus, from Matthew 1:25. Four, knowing the effects of Jesus' redemptive work, she came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. That's from Luke 2:38. Five, the idols of Egypt fell at Jesus' feet, a prophecy against Egypt. See, the Lord rides on a swift cloud and is coming to Egypt. The idols of Egypt tremble before him, and the hearts of the Egyptians melt with fear, from Isaiah 19:1. Six, holy life with Jesus and Mary. These are the seven joys of St. Joseph. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, this is holy life with Jesus and Mary, they returned to Galilee, to their own town, of Nazareth, Luke 2:39. And finally, number seven, finding Jesus after 3 days. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions, Luke 2:46. There's a whole lot of spiritual resources for the year of St. Joseph, which started last December 8th and runs through December 8th of this year. So a few more weeks. Well, we're pleased to be joined by Marie Leatherby, Executive Director of the Sacramento Life Center, coming off. She's still high from the great gala they had about a week and a half ago now. Marie, a good day to you.
Yes. Thank you. Good day to you.
I saw a release from you, just overwhelmed with joy. Tell us about this great event.
Excited. Yeah. Well, we raised record funds for the Life Center, and we sold out. We had over 600 people, and people just came so willing to give, so just glad to be out and about, and it was just a marvelous event. I mean, you know, you get a little nervous these days throwing something like that. And nope, it was so wonderful. And I want to thank everybody that attended and gave, and everybody left kind of on a high. So I was very pleased.
Boy, that's great. A record fundraiser.
Yeah, we're still, you know, totaling and counting, but we're about $400,000, which is way more than we've done in the past. And one reason is because, we've had a mobile clinic for 12 years out and about, and it's really wearing out. It gets a lot of repairs. It's not state-of-the-art. So we want a new, smaller, more streamlined mobile van, you know, that runs on a battery and not a generator and all those good things.
Right,
and,
right.
So people stepped up, and a new one's going to cost $230,000, and we raised $150,000 of it right there in like 10 minutes. It was amazing. Yeah. I know.
Who are these people?
I know.
Oh, that's wonderful.
We're so excited about our new project.
Wow.
And one reason is because 5 years ago we bought our medical clinic,
right,
and did a 5-year campaign, and which people stepped up, and that is coming to an end, and we're going to be able to pay off our mortgage and have, you know, own our own medical, you know, building outright. So
that's pretty impressive and pretty great.
It is really nice. And so we haven't outgrown the building yet, but now we're looking, you know, how can we expand our services and keep relevant? So people really stepped up for this new van that it's going to be beautiful, you know, and it'll do ultrasounds. It'll have bathroom, it'll have a consultation area. It'll have everything, and be a little smaller than our big RVs so that even our nurses can drive it, you know, do home visits or drop off. So it'll be really nice.
You know, I've noticed over the years, and there was a time when I was involved in several fundraisers. And what I learned was that when you had a specific need, like you say, like this mobile clinic, or that it was so tangible that it was easier for people to give to that. Like, I'm going to give this, and that's going to happen. You know, it was a direct connection that was really, really helpful in terms of fundraising.
Yes, and I think, you know, yeah, it's tangible. They can see their money being used for something good. And they can see at our dinner the patients we help, their heart-wrenching stories, the baby saved, the moms helped, and people, it just moves them to, you know, let's help this organization, let's help these moms. And there wasn't a dry eye in the house on some of the stories, you know, and I know you've heard plenty, but they get you every time.
Because you know every single human being on this earth is unique, and
yes.
And everyone, and I think it's one lesson I try to teach my kids is you're going to encounter a lot of people in your life. Everyone has a story to tell, and it's very important to them. And
yes.
take the time to listen to them, and the stories you hear, and people can say, "Oh, we've heard those stories before." No, you haven't. You haven't heard that story before.
You know? Right. Yeah, I know. Every story, it's heart-wrenching, and you know, we take their despair and their fears, and you know, to see them turned into hope and the joy of having their children and making it and being able to accomplish that. And, you know, it's the Holy Spirit. It really is.
I can't think of anything else in the human experience where, for some people, becoming pregnant is a great joy right off the bat, and other people, it's a great fear. It's like...
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, somebody calls and say you want $1 million. Some people celebrate in a higher degree than other people would celebrate, but nobody goes, "Oh, that's the worst thing that ever happened to me." But you actually hear that with pregnancy. It's like,
yeah.
On the one hand, people are overjoyed, and on the other hand, oh, this is the worst day of my life. And you know, what a horrible thing to think mm-hmm. to have to be in a situation where you would actually. You can't help how you feel. You can try to change how you feel, but you can't help that initial feeling. It just it bypasses the brain. It just, you know, you just feel it. And
I know.
And
yeah,
the same thing with joy. You know, it's like
mm-hmm.
First time I saw an ultrasound of one of my kids' hearts beating, the tears just flowed.
Yeah, right. Yep. We have lots of tissue around for either happy tears. Or the sad tears.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, a lot of women are just fearful what people will think if they're
sure.
not in a good situation.
Sure.
And a lot of terminations happen because people are pressuring them. Oh, you know, you don't want to have this child now. You're in school or this isn't the right time. Or
I honestly think it's a very high percentage. It's because of pressure yeah. or at least lack of joy uh-huh. among people around. If the first question is, well, what are you going to do about it?
Right.
As opposed to, wow, you know, like, have you picked any names yet? You know, is
yeah,
it a boy or a girl? Is it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand that's not possible for a lot of people, that it is, they do see it as tragic, or they see their circumstances as difficult. And it's so sad to think that those circumstances have robbed them of the greatest joy. I mean, our greatest joy obviously is in God and Jesus Christ, et cetera. But this,
mm-hmm.
this joy of having a child is just overwhelming.
Yeah. It is. God, you know, one of his greatest gifts to us is that ability. And so, and most moms that, you know, at first are afraid, you know, it depends on where they go and the first words they hear
mm-hmm.
to who they go. I mean, with us, they hear that joy, you know, the congratulations and you can do this. And most of the women will, you know, have their children. But if they go to other places or abortion clinics, they don't get that support and that help and that, you know, encouragement. They get zero encouragement. And
mm-hmm.
people need that. They really do.
Yeah, indeed they do. You know, I mean, maybe we shouldn't be that way, but we do want to hear support. We do want people to encourage us, people around us. And the really sad part is when family members or the father or friends aren't supportive, then it makes it really, really, really difficult. I would never, ever, ever condemn anybody. It's not our job anyway. But
women are strong, and when we say, you know, what do you want? Put all the other voices out of your head. What do you want?
What do you want?
Most women want their child.
Yeah, yeah. Or, you know, or if one thing could change, that might, make you think differently about this child. If someone who's on the path to an abortion, what would it be? And almost all, almost no one would say, there's nothing could change my mind. You know, I don't
That's
want
true.
This kid. Very few would say that.
That's true.
Most of them would say, well, if I had a job, or if I had support from the father, or if my parents weren't mad at me, or if, you know, on and on and on.
So true. Yes.
I mean, I think, you know, we talk about the role of the father, but when depending on the age and the relationship of the potential mother to her parents, parents play a huge role in this. I mean, it's the same way you hear about vocations, you know. A kid comes home and says, I want to be a priest, or I want to be a nun, or, you know, and the parents go, oh, well, let's think about this. Or they say, wow, really,
yeah.
You know. And I mean, if, you know, I don't wish that on my kids, being in that position, not the vocation, but the, you know, being out of wedlock and being pregnant. But if they, I've told them that, I've said, your mom and me will be your best friend in that situation. Don't ever try to hide it from us, think we'd be ashamed, we'd be embarrassed, we'd be mad, we'd be anything. We'd be just, beyond everything, they don't want to disappoint you.
It's so
you know,
true.
I'm in college, how could I have let this happen? And mom and dad raised me a certain way, and now they're going to be disappointed, like in my choices or whatever happened, you know? And no, we would be the best friend you could ever have on earth at that point. You know,
yep.
And if every kid knew that, that there would be that support at home, I think, and some kids, they may think that, but they're still afraid. They still don't want to. It's not afraid they're going to somebody's going to swat them or somebody's going to scream at them. They're just afraid that they're going to disappoint their parents.
Yeah, I know. And girls never want to disappoint their daddy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they're afraid, but. Yeah, so we are excited about our future. As you well know, we're in our 50th year, and this next year will be our big 50th celebration anniversary, you know, and we're going to be doing lots of fun things this year, having an open house and an art auction and wine and cheese and special things for our gala next year, so... We're very excited that the Life Center has made it through and is thriving for 50 years of quite
an accomplishment. That's mind-boggling. That's 1971, if I'm doing the math right. That precedes Roe v. Wade.
Well, 1972, yeah.
Well, because you're talking about next year. You're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, we're just going to be entering it starting in
2022. Yeah.
Yes. So
it coincides, if you will, or just almost, yeah. That's just
right. Yeah.
Well, and of course, in California, abortion was already legal at that point.
Yeah, the Roe v. Wade was 73. We started before that.
California was the late 60s, and California and New York were kind of the very early ones.
Very early, and California is still a very tough one. To make any strides, but we're doing what we can to really help women, to give them a fair chance, to have their children. Poor women shouldn't, if you really love the poor, you don't just want to give them abortions.
No.
You want to help them with child care and food and housing and schooling and all the other things that they need. So,
So explain for those who haven't heard before, but explain how the mobile clinic, how this new van, how that works, where do you go, how do people make appointments, or how does that work?
Yeah, so we like to go in areas, you know, a little farther out, like, you know, South Sacramento, because our clinic's located in the Arden area. So, and some of the outer, you know, Rancho Cordova, Elk Grove, North Highlands, and we partner a lot of times with resource centers where they have like a WIC and a Birth and Beyond, and places where, mm-hmm. you know, low-income women can go and get help. And we partner with them and offer services there, you know, one day a week. We'll travel to different sites and make appointments and work together with some other organizations for that. And this one that's smaller, we'll be able to go to more, you know, health fairs. And I think it'll just be a lot easier, you know, to take out on the, you know, weekends and things like that to other events so that we can reach more women, you know. And we won't see as many as we will in the clinic, but, you know, the way we look at it is, like the 99 sheep, when, you know, one is lost, you go out to find them.
That's right.
And that's what that mobile van will be for, you know, to find that woman that needs help. And that's what the one we've had for 12 years. I mean, some of the stories, they're miracles, how they just happen upon, you know, our van and seeing it and pregnant, need help, and all the women that have just walked through and gotten, you know, the services they needed to have their children. So we're very excited about it.
Wow. And how do you order a van like that? You don't go down to the auto mall in Roseville and just find a van like that.
No, we're having it specially custom built by a place in Kentucky that builds mobile medical clinics, and we had to have half down, which we've got, and thanks to everyone. And it's going to take 9 to 12 months to build.
Wow.
Due to COVID shortages, you know, supply issues and things. So we're hoping to have it, you know, we're just getting it ordered and designed and ordered, and hopefully we'll have it for our next gala. So everything's a little different in post, you know, COVID era. Hopefully it's post. But, so it'll take us a little while to get it.
So do you actually go back to Kentucky or whatever and sit down with somebody and look through a catalog?
Well, so far it's all by email. They email us catalogs, phone, mm-hmm. Zoom, and I don't know if they'll come here or we go there to get it yet. I think they deliver it and everything for us. So it's what another clinic I know just bought one and just got it last week, and it took them, I don't know, like 12 months to get it.
Too. Oh, wow.
So, yeah. Yeah, but it's very exciting, very nice. Our nurses are very excited to, you know, now we have these. Knights of Columbus got us a fancy, you know, 2D, 3D ultrasound machine. You know, shout out to the Knights of Columbus and all they do.
Yeah, yeah.
So we've really got some state-of-the-art equipment, and we're just really excited about our future.
Well, the Knights of Columbus have been kind of the world leaders in the ultrasound, haven't they?
Yes. I mean, they've purchased thousands of ultrasound machines for pregnancy clinics, and they're not just little used refurbished. I mean, they are the top of the line, latest, state of the art, you know, 3D, beautiful machines. The one we just, and this is a shout out to Knights of Columbus and Fair Oaks. It's a $48,000 machine. I mean, they're quite expensive, and so we're really, really grateful for them. Because, the more human and the better the picture is of the baby, the quicker the mom and the mother and the father bond. So it's really beautiful pictures.
So
just like a cell phone. machines change every 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, that one's obsolete.
Yes.
Yeah. No, that's it is a game changer, though. You hear that all the time, and you see it firsthand.
Oh yeah, the ultrasound. It's just a miracle when you see that baby moving around and sucking its thumb so early, kicking and waving and like wow, it really is. Everyone, it's like seeing a little miracle.
Yeah, I don't know. Once you see an ultrasound, it's like it's. I don't care if anything to do with a religious belief or anything else. It's a game changer. It's just like I don't know how you could go forward after that. Once you see the ultrasound.
Yeah, you can't defy science and the truth.
It's pure science. It is. It's pure science.
Yep, that is a little human being, and it's no denying it. Yeah, and it's fun. I love what we do. I've been there 10 years this month. Believe that or not. So,
wow.
I think I just got hooked on what we do and the women we help, and I just really, really love the Life Center and its mission.
Well. I'm sure it loves you back.
Yeah. And the great people that support it. Yeah, great people. So, what else do we have going on? Besides our new ultrasound machine and mobile clinic, and we're just doing lots of good work.
And you'll keep us posted, I presume, on all the great events you've got planned for the 50th anniversary next year.
Yes. We do have a date, November 5th, if people would like to put it on their calendar, 2022, for our 50th anniversary celebration. And
great.
It's be the best event in town.
Presumably the first Saturday of November again.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Same site?
Same site, yes. Does such a wonderful job, but we're going to make it extra special this year for everybody.
Very good. Well, Marie, always a joy to talk with you. Thanks for all the great work you do, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Okay, thanks for having me on, Bob.
Yeah, thank you, Marie. God bless. Yeah, that's Marie Leatherby, the Executive Director of the Sacramento Life Center. We have some ordination anniversaries for November. We hadn't had a chance to get to these yet. Father Orlando Gomez, November 1st, All Saints Day. Father Joel Genabia, November 1st. Father Cormac Lacray, November 1st. Father Mervyn Concepcion, November 1st. All on All Saints Day. What a great day to be ordained. Three of those were in 2003. Father Gomez was 1997. Father Roy Doner, November 7, 1981. Father Salvador Bringas, November 14, 1987. Father Jacobo Caceres, November 21st of 2008. Father Miguel Silva, November 24th of 1984. Father Michael Vaughn, November 25th of 2004. Father Philip Wells, November 26th of 1983. Father Cirilo Cervantes, November 27th of 1999. And Father Jesus Soriano, November 28th of 1970. Also, the Diocesan Immigrant Support Network Gathering will take place on Tuesday, November 30th from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at the Pastoral Center right here, 2110 Broadway. Also will be available in person or online. This is the Diocesan Immigrant Support Network gathering. It has three goals: provide accurate, timely information about immigration law, any new development and the available resources for legal counsel, advocate for a just and humane reform of immigration law, and provide assistance in applying for any available legal immigration resident remedies. You can contact Laura Rios. Laura is at 916-733-0251 or email her at lrios, R-I-O-S, lrios at scd.org. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless everyone. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy Ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
I feel it burning deep inside of spirit is moving around me. I hear your voice. You call me closer. I know that you're here. You're calling me closer.
calling me closer.